It's a big day today. It's all about the pets. Not just the dogs, but the cats, the goldfish, everything. We're joined now by a guest around it. International Pet Day today. Chris Loverseed is from Positive Canine Training and he joins us this morning. Good morning to you, mate.
Good morning, team.
Does anything special happen on International Pet Day or you know, is it celebrated at the UN or anything like that?
To be honest, I've got no idea, but I know it's celebrated in the US.
Okay, well, same thing.
same.
Pets are very complicated. We all think it's as easy as, oh, we'll just get a dog and they'll be our best friend and we'll love them and that will be enough. But they're so complex. I mean, we've had a whole night of really heavy rain in Perth, and all of a sudden it's dawned on me, oh no, this is the season that my Pomeranian decides he no longer wants to leave the house to wee. He thinks it'll be okay, just do it in the dining room. Is there anything I can do to stop this behaviour every winter?
Yeah, how old's the little guy?
5.
Okay, all right, so he's not too young. I guess this goes back to early imprinting, which makes your life a fair bit easier. So how long have you had him for?
I've had him since a pup, and he only started doing this when he was about 3. Yeah.
But okay, to be fair, Chris, Kimber does go to the toilet in the kitchen as well, so it's hard. The little thing doesn't know what he's doing.
A few drinks in the kitchen sink looks like a good idea.
Yeah.
I was about to say, so I guess when he was younger, even when he was 3, I'm not sure how precious you are, but if it's raining, do you go outside with a dog personally?
Look, possibly not enough.
Yeah, so this is a real big issue. So what happens is, especially during the imprinting periods when we've got our puppies and people are toilet training their dogs, as soon as it's raining outside, so many owners are like, stuff that, you know what I mean? So they stand outside the back door and just hope the dog does it, and it doesn't really work like that.
Good advice.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Chris, I've got a bit more of a general question. We're not dog inside people, and I'm in a studio with dog inside people.
Yes,
right?
You are.
And when I tell people that we're not dog inside people, I almost feel like a bit of an asshole. Am I an asshole for not being a dog inside person?
Yes.
Thanks, Chris.
I've got to admit, like, I rocked up, so I'm from Melbourne, and I've come to Newcastle to train dogs this week, but my mum lives here, so I rocked up to her place last night with my stepdad, and they got a dog outside. I'm like, you guys are a bunch of assholes. How can you leave a dog outside? It's not fair.
Okay, well, all right, I'll bow out of this one.
He's
a Kelpie cross Rottweiler. He's a big boy.
Yeah, did I mention it rained all night last night in Perth, Pete?
He loves it.
We have a patio. We've got a patio.
Even still, you know what I mean? So you got to think, well, when was the last time, his parents were herding sheep or Verotti was doing work? Like, they've probably been more bred as domestic pets for a long time than they have working dogs. And for the most part, like, of course, there's still people breeding working Kelpies and stuff like that, but most dogs aren't working dogs.
Right.
Chris, before you go, I saw this incredible post online of a woman who has taught her dog to take the poo bag and run it up the hill to the bin when it's done and drop it in the bin. What's the most amazing thing that you've seen a dog being taught to do?
Look, I've got to admit, I'm not sure. Have you guys ever seen Dancing with Dogs?
No.
So if you guys just jump onto YouTube and just check out Dancing with Dogs, some of these people do these performances that go for around about 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and these things are absolutely amazing. I'm talking about dogs giving CPR and everything. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All
God, right. I knew the hospital system was in crisis, but the last thing I want to see is a bloody dog giving CPR.
I'll take it. Cool.
Wow. We'll check him out, mate. Thanks for joining us, Chris Loverseed, Positive Canine Training. If people want to chase you up, where can they find you?
Yeah, so the best place is actually on our social media. So Instagram, we're most active. So just head out, check out Positive Canine Training and also on our website. So positivecaninetraining.com.au.
Good on you, buddy.
Super. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, team. Hope you have a great day.
I mean, it doesn't take much for me to love on dogs. I'm like, let's just leave the world to the dogs because they deserve it. They've done everything for us.
I'll tell you what, I'm in trouble because Florence was, who's not allowed on the bed. I'm on my own at the moment and I had the dog and the cat with me, sleeping with me last night.
They know.
Yeah.
They know that you're weak and lonely.
Yes.
And they're like, this is a great time.
That's the title of my autobiography, Weak and Lonely.
But look, animals do really cool stuff. I'm easily impressed. Like McGruff, my dog, he knows about 30 of his toy names by name. So you can say to him, go and get the toy and
he
will know which one to get, right? So I'm pretty impressed
by that.
That's
pretty good.
He knows the difference between all of them.
If you could just stop him pooing in the lounge room, he'd be a great dog.
Stop peeing in winter when he thinks it's fine to, because he doesn't want to go out in the rain, that'd be great. That'd be great. But I'm impressed by the by the toy name thing. I'm like, that's enough. But I saw this tweet and this blew my mind because I want this dog. A woman tweeted and said, at the dog park this morning, I saw a woman pick up her dog's poop in a bag, tied the bag, handed the bag to her dog, and then the dog took the poop bag and ran it up the hill to a trash can. Now,
this dog.
Right? Hang on. The dog missed the trash can, so the woman called out, fix it, and the dog picked it up again and put it in the can.
Wow.
I mean, wow indeed.
Wow. Trick dog with a conscience.
Yeah. You know, when you can't be bothered taking the poo bag up the hill into the trash can, you just teach your dog to do it. I don't know how many times you have to do that for him to get it, but great job.
Wow.
Want to know what your pet can do?
Any pet? Doesn't have to be a dog, cat.
Because people have got smart birds and stuff too, you know, that are capable of speaking and doing things. So like any pet that you've taught to do something pretty cool like that.
I'd love to hear from anyone who can buck the trend that a goldfish is an idiot. You know what I mean? Like that all it's got is the 3-second memory and bang, it hits the glass and then hits the glass again. If you've taught your goldfish a trick, God, I'd love to hear about that.
Well, that 3-second memory thing really makes teaching a trick quite difficult, doesn't it?
It does.
I got it. Oh, no, I forgot.
Darren in Lakelands, what's your pet up to?
When I was younger, I used to kick the ball in my football, the football in the backyard.
Yep.
Mm. It was a German Shepherd, so I'd used to teach her to jump the fence, grab the ball and bring it back.
Oh,
but then when he,
really?
But then when he didn't come back, I knew the other dog was outside.
Oh.
So I'd have to go and get him.
You were sending him into another dog's yard.
Yes.
Great.
They were best mates.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Well, as a kid who spent a lot of time scaling those, well, I thought they were asbestos, but, you know, the
like
corrugated.
Fence.
To get a ball, that would have been very handy.
Yeah.
Paul in Averley, what about your dog?
I got a German Shepherd as well. I taught him to help me bring drinks in, or like it's a good party trick. You take him to my second fridge, and I have to have a stubby holder or can cooler on it, and put that, and he'll put it in his mouth, and he'll just wander around with it to the inside fridge, or like when we're doing handing drinks out. So.
Oh, brilliant!
Did you actually train him to do it, Paul?
I trained him to do it. I tried to do it without a stubby holder, and he wouldn't hold it. It was obviously too cold. So.
Yes.
I ended up putting that in his mouth and he was fine. He'll just hold it.
That's cute.
That's wild, mate.
Awesome.
Shari and Baldivis, tell us about your cat.
My cat can open doors.
Whoa, okay.
Cat burglar.
They don't even have opposable thumbs. How's that work? So what are like handle doors?
Any door handle. She just jumps up. She spreads out a paw, gets her claws and just opens it.
Even round knob doors?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Wow.
So she's like jumping up and doing it mid-flight.
Yep.
Excellent.
Just the image of her spreading her paw.
I love it.
Like that's, yeah, wow.
Have you got that on?
Oh, go on.
Sorry?
Did you teach that or is that just something she did?
I taught her to open one door just so she could attack my brother when he was asleep. And now she opens every door.
Have you got that on film?
Yeah, I've got many videos of her doing it.
Oh, can you send through one for us? I want to see that.
I will.
Yeah,
Matt
on
wants
you,
to teach it to Turbo.
Hey, guys, we've obviously been on holidays for a week. Our household, we pretty much locked the doors and stayed inside the entire week. And the reason being is because we didn't want to take any chances contracting the spicy cough.
Yes.
Because Mila had her tonsillectomy on Thursday.
Oh.
Only any particular reason other than the fact that, like, she had been doing this for a little while. She'd been going...
Oh, yes.
And we, like, also noticed that, you know, overnight she would sleep with her mouth open.
Okay.
As well, right? So these are some signs. She was waking up quite tired, even though she'd have a fair, you know, a good chunk of sleep. These are a lot of the signs of, hey, maybe there's something going on with the tonsils and the adenoids.
Oh.
So I took her into the specialist, go and have a look. He said, open up, let's have a look, stick the tongue out, bang, in goes the paddle pot. He took one look and he went, oh, yeah, they got to come out.
Right. Okay.
For those familiar, she was between a 3 and a 4. So the rating scale system goes from 1 to 4. 1 is, no, you're good. 4 is, oh, no, you can't breathe.
Because, I mean, certainly when I was a kid, lots of kids had their tonsils ripped out. And it was usually because they kept contracting tonsillitis. But this wasn't the case with
No, it was the case of, like, just a lot of sort of other issues that were going hand in hand with the fact that basically...
Too big.
Yeah, she just couldn't breathe properly.
Yeah, yeah.
So got her in there and, God bless her, like, she took it in her stride. That's a lie. She was shocking. She was absolutely shocking. She imagine the room. Okay, so the room's got the bed, the room's got the seat and all that sort of stuff. She crawled into a fetal position in the furthest corner of the room away from everything. And we couldn't pry anything into her mouth, like, you know, to try and get some medicine in there to try. Eventually, we managed to get her to relax. They gave her a couple of hits of the, we call it happy juice.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Hey, nice.
And she was very happy. Like, right. Now, terribly sounding.
Why don't
they
just start with that?
Well,
why don't they just let everyone come in and go get on the gas?
You're right. Well,
have you gotten more of it?
I asked her for a couple because she was, I've never seen her like this. I was pissing myself quite often just watching her because she just looked She was absolutely trashed. Anyway, we finally got her in.
Toddlers and small children look like small drunk humans.
Oh, yeah. What was wild, though, was how quick a tonsillectomy is.
Yeah, right.
So she had the happy juice. Half an hour later, we get the call in. She's taken the ride down to, you know, surgery. She's in the waiting bay. And then we've gone in and I'm holding her. And they've gone, here we go, in goes the gas. They put it on her mouth and then she's got to blow the balloon up and take 10 to 15 breaths and then she's out. And I expected, all right, I'm going to go get a coffee, I'm going to put my feet up, maybe I'll muck around with some games and go and have some lunch. 15 minutes later, Mr. Corelli, Mila's ready to go.
Wow.
Now, she's come home and I don't know how it was for people going back sort of 20, 30 years ago when all of the tonsillectomies were going on and so on and so forth, but it was just a lot of ice cream and icy poles.
That was
it's not
cure.
Like that anymore.
Yeah. No.
No, it's like get her to eat absolutely everything.
Toast
and in fact, well, toast.
Like to push all the dry, gritty bits, push all of the excess.
And that's the thing.
Gross.
But she has taken to basically going, no, I'm not letting anything pass through these lips.
Hunger strike.
I don't know how she's doing it because she's not even taking Panadol or Nurofen. So since Thursday, she has refused to take any medicine and she is gritting her teeth through the pain of having the tonsillectomy.
Is she eating?
She's having like little bits and pieces sort of here and there.
Right.
So
can you put medicine in jelly?
We've tried. No, we've tried everything. We've tried putting medicine in jelly. I've injected some medicine into a donut. Like, she's just suspicious of everything.
Yeah,
oh, right, so she knows.
Oh, she knows.
Mum used to just, like, crush up tablets and then put it in a teaspoon of honey. And you'd just eat the spoon of honey that was filled with the drugs.
So this is the thing. I legitimately am asking for parents' tricks here with how to get medicine past the lips of your kids. Because when we were talking to Mum and Dad about it, my brother had his tonsils out. He reckoned he used to have to hold him upside down, block his nose, then stick the thing in there and go, here you go, have that.
Okay. But if she's not even eating a donut, what chance do you have?
I don't know. And that's why I'm asking.
But Liz, if you're at home with Miller listening, probably time to turn off the radio
so that she doesn't
hear all these great tricks.
Yep. Vanessa in North Freo, what have you got for me?
So my daughter had her tonsillectomy a few years ago now, and we decorated syringes like with her, with like stickers, all of the things that she liked and stuff like that, puffy paint and everything, and we called it magic juice.
Magic juice.
So we turned it into an actual activity for her.
That she was obviously involved in, so she had some serious ownership over it.
Yeah. Okay. And then like with food, with jelly and your custards and all of those sorts of things, we also got her to make them as well.
All right, so there you go. There's a solution, getting him involved.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that Miller be interested in doing that at the moment?
Well, I think she'll be interested in getting it. She's an arty kid.
Okay.
She's very creative. But she knows it's not magic juice.
Yeah,
day five.
How arty are these syringes, hey?
Hey, Tara.
Good morning. How you going?
Hey, good, mate. What happened?
So my son, he's 2.5, and he just got his tonsils out just about 3 weeks ago, actually. And the way that he was very similar, gritting his teeth, but we found that putting it in some nice, cool and a yogurt sachet, giving it a good mix around and handing that to him really helped. It's nice and smooth and cold on their throat. And also a hand puppet. So we've got a little kookaburra that enjoyed taking the medication, which gave him a bit of a giggle and enticed him to take it too.
Mm. Cute. Okay,
I mean, two and a half is maybe a little easier to do those things, I don't know, than a five-year-old, because, I mean, you know, she's now cynical, isn't she?
She's very cynical. Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's a very discerning kid.
Is there any problem in just letting her be five and tough? Is there any reason that she has to have pain medication? Like, if she's like, well, I've got this and I'm hunger striking for 5 days, but she's okay.
No, there is no reason why she can't just do that. But when she's sitting on the couch, forget that, when it's midnight and she's sitting bolt upright in bed going, owie, 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 owie.
Oh, well, then so you can just negotiate with her, right?
Be yeah, sure.
If you're not going to take your meds, you're not allowed to whinge.
Yeah, that works. That works with her for sure. Carolyn Brigadoon, what have you got for me?
Good morning, guys. My youngest is now 17, nearly 18. But you can actually buy the liquid Zoopers. And put the medication in it and then freeze them and do exactly the same to like your yogurt or even when you make a jelly. Put the medicine in the jelly and then put it in the fridge and then, yeah.
Okay.
So the freezing doesn't damage or lessen the medicine?
I guess not.
No.
And if you get a big pack of Zupa Dupas, you could like put it back in there and then play Zupa Dupa roulette.
You really could. Hey, Liz, I'm feeling great. What's in that Zupa Dupa? Bring down the
room, man. Footy is Barra's game. Insurance is RAC's. RAC Insurance. For the better.
Sport can be good on a Saturday. It can be great on a Sunday. But it's bloody awesome on a Barra Monday.
Yeah, a few coffees down because he's been up since Sparrow's fart, Barra has, watching the Masters, the golf. G'day, mate.
G'day, team. Yeah, good morning to you. But what a wonderful weekend it was for local footy fans too. The Eagles had one of their greatest upset victories, despite a midfield that Ben Cousins and I reckon we could have snuck into with a bit of training. That's how bad they're going. They defeated Collingwood, can you believe it, Marvel Stadium with heaps of guys out. They must hate playing the Eagles, Collingwood. And the game forever now will be known as the Miracle at Marvel because they had no right to win. The heroes are Willy Rioli with four goals coming back from 2 years out. Mm. Where there's a will, there's a way, they're saying. The ageing superstar, Matty Josh Kennedy, fantastic. Just love that guy. Arguably the greatest Eagle of all time, I reckon now. But anyway, we can have that discussion another day. And Jack Darling, who's definitely taking his shots now. He booted a couple of handy goals in the last quarter from Big Jack. So that was good to see him turning the corner. And now you know what it is now, guys. It's Good Friday footy at Optus Stadium. Never used to be footy on Good Friday.
No.
But the Swans are here. Buddy won't be playing. He's injured. But a bit of a strange one, eh? Good Friday footy. I can't believe it's Easter anyway, but Good Friday footy at Optus Stadium. But fantastic West Coast.
When we were kids, Barra, everything was shut on a Good Friday.
I know. I don't know what we did with ourselves back then, Maddie, but now we can go to the footy at 5 o'clock.
Well, and Barry, you know, a couple of wins for both Dockers and the Eagles, but like already we're not really seeing the consistency in the teams, right? Like we don't know what's about to come because they don't seem to really have it together yet.
That is exactly right. And I love a bit of realism being injected because I posted.
That's what I'm here for, man, the realism.
You're keeping it real. But I posted that, how good's this? The Dockers are third. Who would have thought that after four rounds? And people jumped on me, Pete, saying, oh, hang on, who have they beaten? What have they done? I'm going, they can only play the teams they're playing.
Yeah.
And no one would have said they'd be third after four rounds, after running riot in the last quarter up to stadium with the on-ground MC getting very excited, I believe.
Oh, well, you're talking about David because I wasn't there over there. I was at a wedding, unfortunately couldn't be there to share in the excitement. It was an absolute beauty of a win. But I get it, mate. But that's what you expect from Twitter. I popped off on Twitter, went viral, and then clearly a few Eagles supporters, half a shardy or two down over the weekend, felt the need to get stuck in. So I get it. It's all right, mate. It's okay.
It's an absolute toilet, isn't it, sometimes? But anyway, but the Dockers still without Fife and Sarong. And a fella named Will Brody.
Yeah,
had
legend.
A 37 touches. Frio stole him from Gold Coast. So well done to Frio. They play Essendon now in Melbourne on Good Easter Sunday. I better mention the golf. The music's coming. Scotty Scheffler has just won the Masters at Augusta. I got up at 3 a.m. to see if Cam Smith could do the job. He choked up, unfortunately, on the 12th and triple bogey, which is six shots on a par three. That was the end of him. But I've got to say, as I go out, it was so beautiful to watch Tiger Woods today. He was in so much pain, but he fought all the way through after nearly losing his leg in a car crash. It was equal to him winning on the last day, which he normally does. That guy's amazing to be out, just to be out there and fighting on.
Just like you in the twilight of your years as an eagle, mate. You imagine.
That's it. I've had surgery. I'm ready. Simo, if you need me, I've had surgery. So it's Ben.
Thanks, Barra.
See you guys.
Now, you guys, in because I'm slightly older than y'all, I was one of the idiots. Well, maybe not idiots, but when we were told about Y2K, now that was obviously with the new millennium, 0000.
Clocking into the year 2000, and we didn't know what was going to happen.
Well, we were told that computers wouldn't deal with the new date, that they wouldn't know it was going to 2000. They'd think it was going back to 1900. That planes would fall out of the sky.
ATMs were going to freak out. You were going to lose all your money.
Dams would open their gates and we'd all be flooded. I mean, it was, you know, it was a bit scary for those of us that chose to believe all those news headlines. Now, I stupidly went and got 25 litres of water and a whole bunch of canned food, which is depressing because I believed all the fear-mongering, and also depressing because what was I expecting to happen? That I would live a couple of weeks longer. And yeah, it would be the most miserable 2 weeks of eating baked beans and drinking water out of a plastic tub.
That is why on the night I just went into the streets of Frio and drank with friends and then partied at Metro's.
And
that's how
fine.
I handled Y2K.
It was fine.
Under the impression it would be your last night or just in case? Is that how you're going to go out in a blaze of glory?
I guess it was our last night, and like when you live south of the river and you can't be bothered going into the city.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a sense of, look, we don't really know what's going to happen. Yeah. Okay. Well, turns out that wasn't the only date we should be worried about.
Oh, no.
So Unix and Linux systems, I don't know
if Linux.
Linux, okay.
Yeah.
So they're quite, you know, they're operating systems that are quite universal. Now, they've been counting basically from January the 1st, 1970 in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they see time. So on January the 19th, 2038, those systems are going to go, oh, we've reached the end of our clock. We need to go backwards.
We need to go backwards, as in, so they'll hit that
and then start going backwards.
Right.
So it's the next Y2K.
Why are people just creating systems that have such a short shelf life?
I'm glad you asked that, Kimber, because the programmer who wrote the article is going, I know you'll probably ask, why haven't we thought of this? But coding takes so long. And there's so much kind of, it's a bit like the way we're dealing with our environmental crisis.
Just ignoring
it. It's all short-term stuff. And coding for future stuff is so difficult and so such a grey area that you can only really deal with the here and now.
Great.
Because it'll all be different in 5 years.
So how many litres of water are you buying this time?
January 19th, 2038. Yeah, quite a bit. Yeah. And I'm going to go the spaghetti this time.
Yeah, good.
Because baked beans just seems way too depressing.
I know that this isn't very kid-friendly because we're supposed to say, eat all your veggies, do all the right things, eat your fruit.
Sure.
You know, eat whatever on your plate, all of that. But I think it's high time that we eradicate a vegetable.
Mm.
This vegetable, I don't think, has brought any goodness to any of our lives ever. And it's still being produced, and I've never met a person who likes it. And so I'm just saying, why don't we just put it out there? Should we just stop this happening and then we can all just move on? Oh. I think that we should eradicate red and purple lettuce. Any of the red and purple lettuce varieties that you get in those mixed bags of greens.
Oh, yeah.
Why are we still making that vegetable? Why are we still growing that vegetable?
You've got it wrong.
What are we doing?
You've got it wrong.
They don't bring anything good to a salad. And I just feel like
they bring colour.
Yeah, colour. Vibrancy. They lift the salad. And I grew up on that stuff.
They taste gross.
No, I grew up on that stuff. The bitter taste of those lettuce, lettuca, that stuff, you chop it up really nice and fine, like really, really, really fine. and you throw it in there, and then you just hit it with a heap of salt and a heap of vinegar.
Beautiful.
And a heap of olive oil.
Okay.
And you just mix that through, and it is...
I think this is exactly the point. You needed to add three ingredients, a heap of each ingredient you just suggested, to make that thing taste good. You could literally put vinegar, salt, all of those things on any other lettuce. You could put it on any other vegetable and make it taste the same. Bitter lettuce is gross.
It's lettuce. It's all boring.
I like a bitter taste, though.
Really?
That's why I like rocket, and particularly when it's very peppery and bitter.
Yeah, rocket, fantastic. Yeah. But when I go to get a bag of rocket or a bag of spinach and they're not available and you have to get the mixed bag, and I see that awful purple lettuce in there and I think you've just ruined the whole bag.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no point in it. I don't understand. I'm like, and then I looked it up and I suggested that the purple and the red lettuce provide more nutrition than a standard green lettuce.
Mm.
But like, how much nutrition do we think we're getting out of lettuce? Does it matter? I mean, this is a write-off at this point, right? Hey?
Like, I am so impressed that you go to the supermarket and that's what's going through your head when you walk around those aisles. You're looking at that stuff going,
and
we need to stop this.
If it's not in a bag, like, oh no, I haven't.
It needs to end.
You could buy just the whole vegetables and make your own salad.
Would you ever, have you ever seen the red lettuce for sale on its own, not in a bag? Because no one wants it. It has to be jammed into a bag with all this other stuff because it sucks.
That is true.
Let's get rid of it.
Yeah.
Make it stop.
All right, mate.
Someone better tell Captain Vegetable.
This guy.
It is why. Captain Vegetable, with my carrot and my celery.